My name is J.J. Wandler. I am running for state representative in the 7th Legislative District, Position 2. I was born in Spokane, Washington. Attended schools in Central Washington in East Wenatchee, and went to college at Eastern Washington University. I graduated in 1998 with a bachelor's degree in English. I then moved to Seattle, where I worked at Amazon.com for a short time. And then got into the restaurant industry. I own a restaurant in Seattle. I ended up having two children and decided to relocate to Spokane as it seemed like a good place to raise my children. I live in North Spokane County in Meade right now. And I still own a restaurant in Seattle. And I co-own an auction house in Spokane, Washington.
Wow. So you're a busy guy.
I do tend to keep busy.
Okay. So why decide to run for the legislature? I mean, that takes a lot of time to run for the legislature.
It certainly does. I had waited a very long time for somebody to come along that would run for office, that would represent my viewpoints and nobody was coming along. So it seemed like it was going to have to be me. You know, I could either keep waiting for the right person or I could be that person. So I decided to throw my hat in and give it a try for this first time.
So which are the issues that you think are the most important that people weren't paying attention to?
Well, primarily on a state level, it doesn't seem that we're going to get a national single-payer health care plan, but there is a state plan that's been proposed, and I really don't think that people in the 7th Legislative District have been exposed to that very much. In fact, I know that many people in most of the legislative districts haven't had access to that proposal. It's called Whole Washington, and it's a single-payer system. So that's one of the issues that I thought that that would help people in the district and people in Washington State. I'm also running on, a platform of bringing on a wealth tax. That's most likely going to require a state constitutional amendment. But we currently have 12 billionaires living in Washington State. And we have the most regressive tax system, or one of the most regressive tax systems in the United States here, with our sales tax and our other taxes that kind of adversely affect working class folks and working poor. So a wealth tax of 3% on incomes over $1 million is one of the things that I'm proposing as well. In addition to a corporate income tax, we have two corporations in Washington State with valuations over $1 trillion, and yet we have no corporate income tax. I also favor financial transaction taxes, and we'll leave it at that anyways. I don't want any additional tax burden put on to working class families. They're paying their fair share, so I think that we should head to the top and ask those people to pay a greater share for our infrastructure and for our education.
So let's go. I want to go back to the single payer system. Make the case for that, for why Washington should make that change.
Well, obviously we're not seeing that on a national level, and we just have too much acrimony between the parties to, I think, ever see that happen. I think that the pandemic has brought into sharp focus the limitations of our current healthcare system and of the insurance industry that's kind of dictating the plans. And, the argument has been made that so many people have employer-based healthcare, and now that we have kind of this mass unemployment and mass layoffs happening, millions of people are losing their healthcare. The numbers in Washington itself are in the hundreds of thousands, and not to mention the people that couldn't afford the ACA to begin with. you know, when we're faced with, you know, a kind of an epic, you know, mass pandemic like we have right now, I think it's more important than ever that people are able to get the medical care that they need without, you know, worrying about going into bankruptcy, you know, making the choice between making a mortgage payment or a rent payment and seeing a doctor. You know, if we're gonna get through this pandemic safely, we need people to be able to have easy and affordable healthcare. You know, there shouldn't be a choice, a financial choice, in the ability to see a doctor.
Do you believe, as some do, that the employer-based healthcare system, that burden should be taken away from business owners of providing health insurance for their employees?
You know, I think that it would be great for business owners. I'm a small business owner. I don't currently have the resources to offer healthcare to my employees. I have less than 10 employees for my restaurant. So, but, you know, I think that employers could get behind that, especially, you know, if the contribution becomes one to a state healthcare plan. You know, I don't know why employers would fight a system like that. You know, especially when it's a comprehensive coverage with no deductibles. The whole Washington plan also includes dental and vision. It's kind of a win-win situation for employers and for the residents of Washington State.
Now, you may have already mentioned this, but how would you go ahead and pay for a single payer system? How would the money transactions go?
Well, the whole Washington plan, it does cost money. I can pull up the numbers here real quick. The monthly premium is $134 a month. That's the adult monthly premium. That includes full coverage of medical, dental, and vision. And there's zero deductible on that. And then there's an employee payroll deduction based on wages. You know, I threw in just an average wage of $50,000 through the website, and it came back with a $79 a month employee payroll deduction for all that coverage. Right, for full coverage medical, dental, and vision for Washington State residents.
Well, let's stay on health for a little bit. The coronavirus has brought an awful lot of attention to the role of public health. And yet public health officials say we don't have dedicated funding sources to make sure we pay for the public health functions. Is that something the state should take up?
Absolutely. You know, this is a, you know, it's a virus that affects all people in the state. You know, it's not something that we can push off on local health districts. You know, it really kind of demanded a national plan, not 50 individual state plans, in order to kind of beat this thing. And so since we're stuck with state plans, we're definitely going to need the state legislature to take it up. I would have thought that because of where we're at with this, that we would have had an emergency session to take it on before next year. I don't think it's something we can just keep kind of punting down the road. It's kind of an emergency, you know.
And so how has the governor handled this in the 7 or 8 months since Washington has had coronavirus?
You know, I fully backed the initial shutdown and the stay-at-home mandate because we didn't know a whole lot about the coronavirus. And it was frightening, and more information was still coming, and we wanted to kind of flatten the curve was the buzzword, so that our hospitals and medical facilities would be able to handle incoming cases. And what we've kind of seen since then is, you know, we're not seeing our hospitals overrun nearly as much. I think that the governor did the right thing initially. I think that we're a little slow to reopen, especially knowing that we have, you know, best practices in place that the people could be using. A mask mandate, I think, is what we would have. I mean, we have a mask mandate, but we need to have enforcement of that, and then we could be open to businesses even more than they currently are.
So how is your restaurant been affected by this? Or have you, how much business have you lost? How have you enforced the mask mandate in your business?
Well, we use the state's the state's mandate. We take it very seriously. We do everything that the state requires, but we have seen our revenues drop by 80%. We are just barely on life support as a business right now. We're used to being able to run lean. We've been open for 12 years. And, you know, I talked with my restaurant manager and he said, yeah, we're right back to where we were in 2008, just like what it was to start the place up, where it's unpredictable on a day-to-day basis. You know, the principals, meaning myself and he, are not able to take paychecks anymore. We're just really trying to keep the business alive. So, you know, pay our rent, pay our insurance, pay our employees. And that's all we're able to do right now when we're affected, you know, when we're down 80% on revenues.
Can I ask more about the specifics of your business? Is it what kind of food do you serve? Have you had to make the pivot to take out and that sort of thing?
Sure. We're a neighborhood French restaurant in North Seattle. And we have, you know, we started doing to-go food. And fortunately, we had a lot of regulars over those 12 years. So they've supported us to a certain degree. But French food is not takeout food. So we're a little bit hamstrung by the simple nature of the kind of food that we do, which is best enjoyed kind of fresh and you know, at a location in an atmosphere.
Yeah, so, sure.
I mean, we've done what we can do, but we're really, you know, we're really just trying to stick with what we did best.
All right. So let's talk a little bit more about state-related stuff. If you're going back to the legislature, you're going to a very difficult fiscal situation. You've talked about wealth tax. Would you also talk about cutting budgets? How would you make ends meet then?
You know, it's difficult because we have certain state, constitutional responsibilities. And those things can't be cut. You know, we just don't have the ability. And the rest of the stuff, we have a lot of essential services that we just can't cut without negatively affecting, you know, at-risk populations. You know, I don't support adding extra tax burden onto the same people that we're cutting benefits for. You know, I really think we need to start looking towards the top for this money. The only people that have been getting rich during this pandemic are the billionaires who have seen their wealth increase, you know, by hundreds of billions of dollars. And, you know, someone like Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates, a 3% wealth tax, well, they'll barely see, you know, a blip on the screen with what they have. You know, I really think that there needs to be a real focus on looking at revenue sources at the top. You know, this whole trickle-down economics thing has talked about how if we give them tax cuts, that the money will trickle down to the rest of us. But that is, I've just not seen that happen. I think that we need to do kind of a reverse trickle-down economics where we tax them and that money trickles into our state coffers to fund just the basics. You know, we have massive infrastructure projects that need to be finished. And, you know, Eastern Washington seems to be getting a little bit of the short end on infrastructure finishes. I know that they spent $10 billion in Seattle on the viaduct replacement and on the Lake Washington Bridge replacement. The West Seattle Bridge just got shut down over there. That's going to cost, you know, a factor of billions of dollars to replace as well. And yet we have the North-South Freeway in Spokane that's in its second or third decade of being being finished. You know, they do fast fixes on infrastructure over there, and we get very slow infrastructure fixes.
So I'm curious as to what do you think is the appetite for, let's say, a wealth tax? You're running for office in one of the most conservative districts in the state of Washington, where they don't like any kind of taxes, rich people, poor people, that sort of thing. How do you make the case to the folks up in OMAC or Republic that this is the way to go?
Well, I think number one, by letting them know that this tax does not affect them. A wealth tax is not going after their money. In fact, what I'm trying to do is keep those folks from having to pay any more taxes, because I know that the legislature is going to go after a sales tax increase or a gas tax increase or more sin tax increases on cigarettes and marijuana and alcohol. They're going to do a lumber tax, you know. They're going to raise these revenues on the backs of working class people. And what I'm proposing is that we not do that. A wealth tax is our best way of doing that. You know, I just want to point out, I guess, that the Lake Washington Bridge, which taxpayers funded to the tune of, I think, about $6 billion. I may have that number wrong, but it takes people from Seattle directly to Bill Gates's campus in Redmond. And the new tunnel that we paid $4 billion for takes people directly from South Seattle to Jeff Bezos's campus on South Lake Washington. We've done $10 billion in infrastructure projects that absolutely help deliver employees to the two richest men on earth. I think it's time we ask them to pay their share of taking care of that infrastructure.
I want to ask you about one other tax, a small one. Hillary Frand, state lands commissioner, has proposed a small tax on property liability insurance premiums to create a fund for wildfire prevention and mitigation. Is that, and we found out that again this year that wildfires are indeed pretty common now in the state of Washington. Is that something you could get behind?
You know, like I said, I don't support putting taxes on people that are already struggling in the current environment. You know, something's got to be done about that. And folks that build out in those areas are taking on quite a bit of liability on their own. We already know kind of what the situation is out there in some of those rural wooded areas. And it's a difficult call, but I don't approve of adding extra taxes on the people's insurance, which is already sky high.
Okay, let me ask about one more issue in the legislature. Police reform is going to be on the agenda again next year in terms of how do we make police more accountable? How do we make their actions more transparent? What about, cutting back on chokeholds or the use of tear gas? At what level of government is that sort of thing most appropriate? State level, local level, combination? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's, you know, it's going to take efforts at all levels. We can address that at a state level, but the city police budget is in the hands of the city council, in Spokane, for example. Those police budgets are definitely, at the local level. On a state level, though, we can mandate certain things, and I think that we do need to play a part in that. We should definitely be addressing, chokeholds and policing tactics, which, have adversely affected, poor communities, people of color, it's a difficult situation. My aunt was married to a police captain down in San Diego, who has passed a few years ago, and she's a Trump supporter. But I talked to her about the stuff that I propose to see how she feels about it, and we tend to agree on a lot of things. And we were talking about policing, because the term defund the police is such a loaded term, and I think it's extremely misunderstood. So I explained to her that when I hear that term, what it means to me is that we take certain things off of the police's plate, meaning mental health calls, meaning calls to homeless persons, meaning revenue creation through ticketing people for speeding, speed traps for getting people for five over when it's not really a public menace type of a thing. And I said, what we do is we put that in the hands of dedicated professionals that do that for a living. And she said that her husband, the police captain, that's exactly what he wanted all along. He wanted the police to be able to get back into policing, into solving and taking care of crime, and to not be like bogged down with all the minutia that's been put on their plate over the years. And so when I hear the term defund the police, that's what I'm, that's what I believe should happen, is we let the police get back into the job of policing, and we make their interactions with kind of at-risk communities less. Obviously, if we've got violent crime, that's where the police come in. But if we just have, a homeless person or an intoxicated person, we have other professionals that can deal with that stuff.
Yeah. Let's finish with a couple of general questions. What are the tools you have that you think would make you an effective legislator?
Well, I think that number one, I'm willing to listen to all sides of an issue and come up with a plan that addresses the things that everybody needs. Obviously, we can't be all things to all people, but I definitely listen. I don't sit in judgment. And I try to find the best consensus solution to an issue that I'm faced with. I'm running as an independent because I think I have some of the best policy parts of the Democratic Party and some of the best policy parts of the Republican Party that I believe in. Teddy Roosevelt, 120 years ago, was called a progressive Republican, and it's not a term that you hear anymore. And I kind of feel like that goes closely aligns to who I am. I'm a progressive on many hands, and I'm a Republican on other hands. Teddy Roosevelt was the guy that was the trust buster that broke up the big companies when they were, not giving their fair share, and they were, not helping the people. I think it's time again. I believe we're in kind of the new gilded age.
And I'm also, since you're asking people for their votes, I'm curious, you as a voter, what are the qualities you look for when you decide to fill out your ballot?
I look for progressive ideas. I look for people who are not towing necessarily a party line, who are willing to step across and take stands that may be unpopular with a certain voting bloc, but that are nonetheless a help for those people. I'm looking for people who are plain talk. I'm looking for people who aren't taking a bunch of corporate money, that are more interested in helping the people You know, corporate money in an election and the amount that flows into a candidate's coffers typically shows where their priorities are. And so, you know, those are just a few of the things that I look for.
JJ, those are my questions. Anything I didn't ask you about, any other issues you wanted to talk about before we close out here?
You know, I guess there's one other thing that is kind of near and dear to my heart, and it's been something that's been brought up in the legislature, for 10 to 15 years now, and that is the formation of a state bank. In North Dakota, they have a state bank. It's the only one in the United States. It makes a profit for the people of North Dakota every year, year after year. It keeps all of the money from the state revenue collection in the state. It doesn't go to major corporate banks anymore. The state is able to make money off of the interest, which right now is being made by the corporate banks that we bank with. We could handle this, our state's legal cannabis business money, which is currently unable to be banked because of federal laws, which trump our state laws. So I think that a formation of a state bank would be a huge win for the people of Washington State. I'd like to see, that happen so that we can fund infrastructure, so we can basically keep things right here in the state.